Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Proudly White podcast. You're joined here with Lee.
And with Sean, and we're looking ahead to, well, what will hopefully be a full season of fans in the stadium.
So it's been quite a while since our last podcast. We took a little bit of a hiatus over the last season with everything going on. But as the stadiums are back open and hopefully the stadiums are going to be nice and full again, so are our pods.
Yes, indeed. And we've got quite a lot to talk about. It's been a busy summer so far, Lee.
It has, yeah. We've got loads of new people in both the men's and the women's clubs as well that we've got to sort of welcome to the club. So if you follow us on our socials, you'll see that we're always welcoming any new players or staff that come and join us. So in the men's team, obviously, we have a new first team coach. So we have got Nuno, who's joined us from Wolves. And, you know, we're recording this after the pre-season friendly against Arsenal, where we've obviously just won 1-0. So, you know, watching Nuno in charge, being back in the stadium with fans again, you know, it's really good to see him. And the one thing that I really picked out of that was his sort of professionalism and just the way that he carried himself. It's I want to say it's a breath of fresh air almost.
Well, and he's declared himself in love with our club motto. To dare is to do. So that's always a great thing. And he does just, I mean, I was at the open training and, you know, he did give us a wave when we asked him to, and he was, you know, seemed to be enjoying himself, and that's an important thing, isn't it? If he's in enjoying himself, hopefully then the players will be as well.
Exactly, yeah. So we welcome Nuno to Spurs. Hopefully it will be a long and very loving relationship that we have with him.
Yeah, I mean, he did great things with Wolves, didn't he? So hopefully, you know, onwards and upwards.
Yeah, and we've got a couple of new signings under our belt already. So we've got Christian Romero, who's just recently joined. And we've also got Gallini and Brian Gill. So, you know, it's good to have a couple of signings under the belt.
Yeah, signings which kind of feel like they took a long time, particularly Romero, in terms of how long it was being talked about in social media land and things. But finally actually got over the line and, you know, the best Italian defender last season, a defender in the Italian league last season. So hopefully, you know, he'll come in and be a great influence on the back. But we're still looking, it would appear, for at least one, if not two more centre-backs.
Yeah, definitely. So there's still some work to do in that area for sure. But, you know, I think it's a really great statement of intent as well. You know, spending still, I know it's relative, but big, vast amounts of money on, you know, big name players is, you know, a really, really good statement. And hopefully it's, you know, it's backed up with some more, you know, first team players. But like you said, I think we all sort of knew from the back of last season about our defence issues and about how that's definitely an area that we need to shore up a little bit more. And I think this is the first step towards doing that.
I mean, it does feel like this season a real sea change in terms of the players that have left. I mean, obviously, Jan Vertonghen left a year ago, but now with Toby going as well and with Eric Lamella going, it does feel like a bit of a sea change within the club. And hopefully that's going to be a good thing, keeping hold of some great players, but also bringing in some new players and revitalising the team. And, you know, after all, one bad season, which wasn't completely a bad season, you know, just not quite to the standards maybe we've come to expect, doesn't mean the end of the world. And I think it'll be interesting to see if you know, if the team can gel quickly. I think we've got a, you know, there's no reason to think we can't do as well as we've done in recent years.
Exactly. And especially with the match that we've just watched as well against Arsenal, where we still don't have all of our players necessarily back. So we didn't have Ndombele, we didn't have Kane. But yet, you know, for periods of the match, we dominated and I would say on the balance of play, deserved the win. I didn't get to watch the whole match myself, but from the bits that I've seen and from the conversations about people that did watch it, you know, it seems there's a lot more positives from that one match than most of our matches last season.
Well, in a draw with Chelsea before that at Stamford Bridge, you know, it's a great way to start, you know, to end the pre-season, isn't it? To be doing really well against those teams that are, you know, teams that we want to be doing well against, and to be getting results, albeit in pre-season when you've got not all your players back and where there's lots of changes, and it's not never quite the same as a Premier League game, of course, but the confidence factor as well in terms of drawing with Chelsea, coming back from, you know, being down against them and then beating Arsenal. Fantastic results, and, you know, really hopefully the players will get some confidence, and also having had some fans back in the stadium and remembering what that's like, and it will hopefully be building their excitement even more for the coming season.
Definitely will. And we've had obviously wholesale changes in the women's team as well. I think you said it was it 9 new players we've got?
So far. Obviously we had quite a lot leave at the end of last, in fact, I think we had 11 players leave last season at the end of their contracts. And we've now got, quite a few come in. So Cho, who joined us on loan from West Ham last season, has stayed. She's obviously our female equivalent to Sun. So she's the captain of her national side as well. But we've also got Asmita Ali's joined us from Aston Villa. She's a 19-year-old defender and was offered a new contract by Aston Villa and turned it down and has come to us instead. We did lose Alana Kennedy at the end of last season, but we've got a new Aussie coming in, Kaya Simon, who's a forward, hugely experienced, just received her 100th cap for the Matildas, so really experienced, played in America and in Europe as well. We've got Molly Bartrip's joined us from Reading. She's a defender as well, so a really experienced defender there. And we've got the first ever Chinese player in the Women's Super League joined us on loan, Tang Jili. So, you know, lots and other players as well. That's just some of them. So, you know, really some really good calibre of players. Obviously got a bit of time to gel. We don't start the women's season until the beginning of September. And as you mentioned, you know, we've got Shalina Zdorsky, who was at the game today at the stadium just as a somebody watching the game, obviously coming back from the Olympics, only just made it back. But you know, we've got some great experience in the team now. We've got some great youngsters, not forgetting, you know, people like Jess Naz, who only came back last season, so we're still getting our fitness back last season. So really, you know, we've got lots of reasons to be positive in the women's team as well.
Absolutely, especially with Shalina coming back with that gold medal as well. The confidence that must bring back with you is just, you know, that is one of the biggest achievements as an athlete that you can get, is to be able to get a gold medal for your sport at the Olympics. And, you know, she's done that. And that wealth of experience that she's going to bring back into the squad is going to be, well, vital for the season ahead.
And I think also about that, because there's been a lot of talk about the Canadian squad, because obviously their manager was Phil Neville's assistant manager at England for a while, and then obviously went off and got the job as the Canadian manager. So she is an English manager, but they've been talking about how kind of she really changed the attitude of the team, because previously they didn't have that kind of winning mentality, you know, that optimism about the team that she's really brought. And so I think that will be really valuable. Shalina can bring that back to Spurs, and you know, as the captain of Spurs women, you know, she can instill those kind of values in the players. And hopefully, you know, we've got a lot of players who've got a lot of experience now, but you know, she has a great amount of experience, and that'll be a fantastic buzz for her to be on, and you know, still riding high on it when she gets back to training and things. You know, it's great, and it's a great achievement for her. You know, she's been a brilliant player for us, and just fantastic for Canada to do so well, and for she to have that winning experience and hopefully bring back what she's learnt to Spurs women.
Exactly. And also, it's going to be Rihanna's first full season as head coach as well. So, you know, she's had a little bit of time to sort of get to know the squad a bit better. And obviously, with the squad now changing, you know, we look to see how that plays out. And, you know, there's a lot of potential for the women's team to really kick on and to, you know, start holding their own in the league.
Yeah, I mean, and we've also must mention Vicky Jepson, who's just come in as assistant manager. We lost our previous assistant manager. She's gone on to Bristol City to manage them in the interim, as their manager's still on maternity leave. So she comes in having managed Liverpool previously and done lots of other great things. So she's a really experienced coach as well. So she brings another dimension to the backroom staff. And yeah, I mean, so our first season in the Super League, we did better than anybody thought we would. And then last season, not quite as well as people thought we were going to. So this season really is a chance to push on, you know, push that top half of the table, make sure we finish, you know, higher than we did last season, and really show what we can do. And I think, you know, Rhianne knows what she wants to do with the squad. You know, she made those choices of the players to let go and then has bought in. We were a bit questioning whether she'd find, you know, another 11 players who were substantially better than some of the ones she let go. There, obviously, Ilana Kennedy, we're sorry to see go, and Siri Vorm, and you know, a few others that we were sorry to see go. But so looking at the people so far, looking at the women she's brought in, there are some great players in there, and I'm sure they'll be welcomed by the Spurs fans. And of course, the first game for the Spurs women, as I say, it's beginning of September, but we're going to be playing at the Spurs Stadium. It is an international break for the men. So we've got the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We're playing Birmingham, which is a great opportunity to start the season with 3 points. And yeah, hopefully there'll be lots of fans in the stadium to come and watch.
Yeah, we'd love to see as many Proud Lady White members as we can down to be able to come and watch that one. It'd be great to get another big group again back at the stadium. I remember when we went to watch the North London Derby, we had, I think there was nearly 100 of us. There was definitely a massive group of us. We had a whole block, which is really great. And obviously, I know that when it's not a North London Derby, maybe the traction isn't quite there for it. But, you know, this women's team, they are hopefully going to become established Super League team. And you know, we're going to be able to use the stadium for matches and things like that. I think everything is looking really good right now.
And yeah, we're certainly Chris and I are certainly looking to organise, if we can, a group together and try and get as many Proud Lily Whites together for the game. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to sit together for a game and natter together during the game. You know, the men's games, we get to meet up before the game, but we don't get to sit together. So this is a really different environment. It's also, you know, a great environment because the players will still come and chat to us after the game, obviously with more people in the stadium when it's at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, it's harder, but they still will come over and talk to people. And, you know, once we get back to the Hive, you know, we always get to chat to them after the games and say hello and have a natter. It's a really different environment to the men's game. So, you know, absolutely anybody who's thinking about coming down to the women's games, I really, really do recommend it. People who come down do enjoy it and do, you know, it's a more old-fashioned kind of sense of a game. It's a more, you get a bit more of a feel of the lower league kind of men's game than you do the Premier League game, which obviously has, you know, different appeal to different people, but it's a real family game. You don't get any of the aggression that you get at the men's game or some of the men's games. And it really is, you know, and it's important as well because you don't get, you know, 62,000 people coming to every game, the players really do feel the presence of the people who do come and they really do appreciate it. So it's really worthwhile. And I'm making it my goal this season to try and get to all the competitive games, home and away. Hopefully I'll achieve that. But it's a little bit tricky at the moment because we still don't actually have confirmed dates for the season. We know the weekend we're playing which game, but we don't know whether it's Friday, Saturday or Sunday at the moment. So apart from the first game, which seems to be the Saturday, although I still think officially that's not confirmed. So the second game of the season, we're away at Manchester, and it could be Friday, Saturday or Sunday. We have no idea when we play Manchester City in the second weekend of September. So it's a bit silly at the moment and we're getting frustrated. But we at least know the weekends will be at the Hive. And if you fancy coming down, do come down and join us. There's always Proud Lily White members down watching the games.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us to sort of, you know, get organised with it and whatnot, the best way to get in touch, you can either go through our website, which is proudlilywhites.uk, and you can fill out the contact form on there, or if you send us a DM on Twitter. So I know that Chris is quite often on the Twitter, so if you want to send a DM on there and just let us know that you're going to be going there, and if you want to meet up with us, it would be great to have you along to come and cheer the team on.
And obviously, if we do manage to get a group together for the Birmingham game, we'll let members know about that as soon as we've got the details. We have emailed the club and hopefully they'll get back to us, given that now the busy North London Derby weekend is over.
Perfect. So let's have a little think about what we think this season is going to hold for both the teams. So for the men's team, obviously, we know we're in that painful rebuild that Poch has mentioned before. We're definitely still in the midst of that. And I think, like you said earlier, it sort of depends on how well the team sort of gels and gets on. We are hitting the ground running with a game against Manchester City first. And I think that's why some of our preseason games are against those bigger clubs, like you said, Chelsea and Arsenal, to sort of try and hit the ground running. And, you know, off the basis of what we've seen so far, again, it's only preseason, but there's a lot of positives to take from that. I can think of a preseason maybe a year or two ago where we would be coming out of those without scoring, conceding goals, but to come away with clean sheets is a very impressive feat right now. So I think, you know, looking for where Spurs may end the season, I think top four is still a good goal for us to have, and I think that's still achievable. I don't think it's completely out of reach. How far into that top four we get and how long we're in the top four for, that remains to be seen. I like to think that we're going to start off relatively strong and sort of be able to maintain it over the season rather than a slow start and then sort of being playing catch up. So I like to think that we'll be able to sort of be at least top six sort of throughout the season, but I guess there's a lot that can change between now and then.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think whatever happens, Levy's intention is top four, isn't it? That's what he's expecting, I would imagine, from Nuno and from the team. And I don't think there's any reason to think that we shouldn't be aiming for that. We've shown in not obviously the last season or two, but prior to that, we've shown we absolutely can be up there. And we know that, you know, it depends also on how the teams around us do and how the other big six teams do during the season. It's interesting, isn't it? I think the first game of the season, sometimes it's nice to have a big team the first game of the season because nobody's quite settled in and the normal run of play isn't established. And you've just got to look at the Charity Shield, haven't you? And the fact that Leicester beat City. They're obviously not completely up and running yet. So, I mean, you know, as I say, we haven't had that competitive game yet, but there is an opportunity there, I think, to come out. And the games between us and City, I think, are always great games. And they are one of the teams that we do manage to pull off great results against. So I think it's not a bad start to the season for us. And then, yeah, it's just you've got to have that consistency, try and have consistency over the season, haven't you? And make sure that you're just focusing on yourselves and doing what you need to do. I think so long as we, you know, I mean, the issue, I guess, as well is it's if we do keep hold of Harry Kane this summer, then how we do this season is really important in terms of what happens to him next summer. And there's going to be a lot of different aspects to it. But ultimately, it's Tottenham Hotspur. We want to be in Champions League. That's kind of the place that we've got ourselves to now, isn't it? And whether it's with Harry Kane or without, we need to be pushing for that. For that to be the end of the season, and I don't think, you know, that it's beyond our ability to do that. It'd be interesting to see what happens with a couple more signings coming in, some rumours about some more defenders and also other strikers coming in. If we can get the players that we've been linked to and they can settle into the Premier League, of course, that's always the problem, isn't it? With bringing people in from other leagues, it's a different experience for them. But look, you know, things are changing at Spurs, and hopefully we can push on again and show everybody else exactly what we're made of.
Here's hoping that we'll be able to, like you said, hit the ground running. We've still got transfers that are going to be coming in and most likely out as well. So I think what you said about, you know, that first match of the season, but about squads not being necessarily settled and having their rhythm necessarily and things like that, I think that is really important. And you could almost view it as a bit like a cup match because, you know, there isn't really any form. So, you know, like with the cup match, form sort of goes out the window for it. The start of the season is the same. And this is, you know, I think Nuno's going to want to set the tempo and set the expectations from the off. I don't think he's going to want to try and ease his team into it. I think he's going to want to go, this is how we're playing. This is our patterns of play. This is our game plan today. We're going to go and execute and we're going to get the result. And I think if you go in there all guns blazing, knowing exactly that you just need to give everything for that badge and do the most that you can do on the pitch, I think as long as you do that, you know, I think Nuno's going to be happy with the squad, and, you know, like to think that we've got enough talent within the squad to be able to come away with a good result if we go out there and just perform to the best of our ability.
And I think the good thing about Harry Kane probably not being involved in the game no matter what, because of obviously his state of fitness and his quarantine status and all that kind of thing, means that doesn't need to be part of what the team are worrying about. You know, that first game of the season isn't going to be all about Harry Kane because he can't play anyway. So there's a bit of time for the rest of the team to kind of establish themselves as a Premier League side again this season than to just kind of go, right, this is what we've been doing. Let's forget about the noise that's been going on for however long now, and let's just get the season started and do it without Harry now, and then whatever happens, happens.
I think it's the only way you really can, you know, that's definitely going to be how Nuno's gone in there to set the team up, is that, you know, Harry Kane, yes, is an absolute world-class striker, and if not the best in the world, but there's a whole team and there's a whole squad, and it's not just Harry Kane. So I think it's really important, like you said, that the team do establish themselves and that they get their confidence in the fact that as a squad and as a team, whichever 11 are on the pitch, they can go out there, they can perform and they can deliver. Whether or not a particular person's in that starting 11, you know, it's not the be all and end all of everything. So I think there's a lot to look forward to with the start of the season. And hopefully if there are some new signings that get to come in and they get to, we get to see where they slot in. I think it's going to be really important to see, you know, especially even players that were sort of not playing under Jose, like Dele Alli, and seeing more of Ndombele and things like that. I think there's a lot within the squad already that, you know, take a fresh approach to it and see what they can do.
Well, I think Ndombele again is going to be an interesting one, isn't it? Because there's been talk of him being upset by the fact that Aurier and Sissoko are probably going to leave this summer, and that making him rethink his place at Spurs. And he does seem to be quite a temperamental kind of a player in that way. So there's still lots that's up in the air. And this is the trouble with the transfer window, you know, not closing until the season has started, is that you don't actually get to settle in and know and be like, right, this is us, let's go, until, you know, a few weeks in. So I think that does cause some issues. We've got enough players in the team in the squad with enough ability. Dele seems to be hungry for it again, and he seems to recognise, you know, his own role in making sure that he's playing and he's playing his best football. Lucas Moura seems to be enjoying life under Nuno, and you know, we know that he can produce special moments. And there's a lot of great players in there, and Eric Dier will be interesting to see. You know, we know he can play brilliantly and he can play not so brilliantly. I'd be seeing who he's paired against. Joe Roden had a great Euros with Wales and really showed himself to be a great, you know, a great player. So there's lots of positives coming into the season, and there's lots for Nuno to think about in terms of who he's going to play and how he's going to play them. And obviously now we've got a second choice goalkeeper who is going to be wanting to get in the net and wanting to play games and challenging Hugo for that first team spot. So, you know, lots of things that are, you know, that are not settled yet, and will be great, I think. Lots of them going forward, and others that need to get sorted, and we need to just kind of have that certainty about which players are playing, you know, which players are staying and which players are going. But obviously the transfer window is what it is.
It is a difficult one, and there's always the debate around whether or not the transfer window should be moved, and about countries ending their transfer windows at different times, and there's so much that comes into play with that. I think it's just one of those things that, you know, I think you just got to try and get on with it as much as you can, and you know, things will be out of your hands, and you know, players will come and go, and you know, teammates who you have really bonded with will leave, and you know, that's part and parcel of the game. And I think it's just all about that mindset of, you know, we are a team, we are a squad, and whoever is here until anyone says otherwise. You can't listen to rumours or make assumptions or anything like that. You know, we're here, we're a team, and let's get our heads down and get on with this.
Yeah, and well, we're also going to see changes to VAR this season in the Premier League. So let's hope that is an improvement on what we saw last season.
I'm very sure we'll still be talking about it every pod, though.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, they're supposed to be making it less intrusive, aren't they, I think, in kind of a slightly more like it was in the Euros than it has been in the Premier League. And they're promising we won't have those, you know, ruler lines for offside being
the lines
so
of doom.
Forensic as they have been. So let's see what happens. It'll be interesting to see how they bring it in, and also with fans back in the stadiums, obviously that brings another element to the VAR, because it's obviously the fans in stadiums having to wait for what feels like half an hour for them to make a decision, and not being able to celebrate a goal when it's scored just in case it gets VAR'd.
Yeah, I think the fans are going to have a massive influence this season. I think, you know, over the last season, some of the results that happened with matches behind closed doors, and, you know, you think those teams that were, you know, you rely on your fans to sort of pick you up for those last 15, 10 minutes of the match. We have notoriously thrown away so many leading positions in the last season. And I think fans in the stadium is a massive influence on that, because if you've got fans in there for those last 10 minutes and you're making sloppy passes or whatever, and you've got the fans on your back, you're just going to keep that little bit more awareness, that little bit more sharpness, and you're going to, you know, you're going to be a little bit more switched on because you've got 60 odd thousand people who are watching your every move, and you feel that pressure and you feel that need to be in that moment and be grounded. And, you know, I still have a job to do while I'm here. So I think, we even saw it in the match against Arsenal. Just the fact that the first 10, 15 minutes of play, Spurs absolutely dominated that. You know, so many forward passes, so many good passages of plays, and the fans really getting behind it. And you can see the players, you can see their reactions, you can see what it means to them to have fans back in the stadium. And I think, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, just with the open training that Spurs held, I went to that, and it was quite funny. The players did like a little lap of honour at the end to clap all the fans, and Sonny was, you know, having people chucking things at him to get him to sign them and all sorts. And I think the rest of the players might have felt a little bit, hang on a minute, how come he's the star of the show? Just you could see that, to some players particularly, what it meant to have the fans back, and for the younger players to experience that, even though there weren't that many fans there, a couple of thousand, I think. But, you know, still for those younger players who were training with the first team to experience what that's like a little bit, and to see that, that's great, isn't it? And gradually we're, you know, building up again. So the North London Derby today, more people again, and then it's going to be, you know, I would imagine a full house next weekend against City.
Hopefully. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. I mean, obviously there have been some emails coming around from Spurs trying to get you to bring guests along and things like that. But, you know, I don't doubt that people were still being impacted by COVID. And, you know, it's difficult. People may not be comfortable going to the stadium yet, and they may not be completely at ease with being around that many people at once. I know that myself, I have struggled going from lockdowns sort of back into busy environments. And with the line of work that I do, I'm sort of out with people, really busy environment all day, every day. And it's quite draining going from not having to be around vast numbers of people to then all of a sudden being thrown back in, especially if we do have a full stadium, 60,000. You know, that's a lot of people, and it's not just about being in the stadium for the match. It's about the getting to and from on public transport or however you're getting there. There's a lot of other things, a lot of other factors that, you know, people may not be 100% with yet. And, you know, they may want to take a sit back and go, you know what, I'm just going to give it another couple of weeks, couple of months, and just see how it plays out. A lot of people have obviously been getting pinged by the app, and we've had Pinggate has sort of become a thing. And I think, you know, I think there are a lot of people that maybe aren't the people that would sort of go to these matches sort of fairly regularly. Maybe not all of them are, but it gives other people an opportunity who do want to go and haven't really been able to go. It'll give them an opportunity to be able to go. So I have no doubt that the tickets will sell.
Yeah, I mean, Manchester City, first game of the season, it's a huge one, isn't it? So looking forward to it. I'm certainly intending to be there. So looking forward to that one and being back in a full stadium. I have been to the stadium a couple of times in the last sort of 18 months, but to be back in a full stadium will be a whole different environment, won't it?
Absolutely. Hearing, like, even just hearing it on the matches from watching from home, you know, it's just, there's such a buzz, and you can feel it. And I think everyone sort of who fairly regularly or semi-regularly goes to matches, you know, you kind of want to get that back. You want to get those goosebumps, and you want to, you know, hear the roar of applause when all the players come out for the first time, and, you know, just being in that environment. And yeah, I think it's great that we've got the opportunity to do that again.
And of course, as we said, for the women's team as well, the first game of the season will be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I expect that the North London Derby will be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as well. We know that the Emirates Stadium will also host their version of the North London Derby. So that will be the first time that's happened, because obviously we haven't been playing in the same league as Arsenal until the last couple of seasons, and they haven't had the North London Derby at the Emirates in those seasons. So this will be the first time, which will be great. And they're opening the season at home against Chelsea as well at the Emirates. So a few more opportunities to watch the women's games in big stadia, which is always great. And yeah, we got Birmingham, as I said, the start of the season for the women's game. And Birmingham, of course, had a real troubling season last season, were almost relegated. And some big criticism of their, of Birmingham for the way they've managed the women's team in the last season. But they've got a new manager and some new players. And in fact, Lucy Quinn, who played for us for the last couple of seasons, will be playing for Birmingham this season. So we'll be able to say hello to her again. And looking forward to a great game, as I say, that gives us a real good chance of starting the season with 3 points from the women's game.
Yes. Yeah, so if you are going to be going along to any of the men's or the women's matches, we are hoping to have meetups with other Proud Lady White members. We always try to do a meetup in person if we can. So if you think that maybe you do want to sort of be able to go back to the stadium to go watch these matches, but maybe you need a little support, or you want sort of people that are going to be friendly and welcoming, just get in touch with us. If you sign up to our emails through our website, we can let you know about when we've got those things going on, so that you can meet us before the match. Maybe even at halftime or after the match, depending on who's playing, where we're playing, things like that. And I believe that we're still going to be doing our virtual match day meetups as well. So if you aren't able to come to the matches, or you're joining us from somewhere else around the world, hopefully we'll be able to have the virtual match day meetups again for everyone to be able to join in with. And hopefully, if we've got a committee member who is at the physical meetup in person, we might even be able to get them to dial in, so we can get a little bit of that atmosphere from the stadium as well.
Yeah, and we've really enjoyed the virtual meetups that we've done whilst we haven't been in the stadium, and we really want to keep that part of the Proud Lily Whites offer. It's been great from an international point of view. We've met lots of people, particularly from America, but from other places as well, who we wouldn't otherwise have been able to keep up with during the games and things. So it's been great to be able to be with them, and we hope to continue that. We've got lots of plans for the coming season, so hopefully you'll be able to join us for something, be it with the men's team, the women's team, online or in person. We're gonna have another busy season, I think.
Absolutely, and I'm very excited to sort of see some new faces and see some old friends. And I think it's going to be, a season of coming together.
And we are going to try and keep those meetups, at least to begin with, outside if we can. So not within the stadium, but outside, just, obviously with everybody being a little bit more wary of being indoors and in crowded spaces, we are going to try and make those outdoors as well, those meetups. So, do, as Lee said, join the email list or keep an eye on our socials, and we'll let you know exactly what's going on and how you can be part of that. I think we also need to talk about what we did for the game today, Lee, which was brilliant. We have in the past, supported Danny Rose through the allegations that he was talking about, the racism that he was facing on a regular basis. And obviously we saw with the Euros the disgusting behaviour of some people towards the three players who missed their penalties. And today we were able to come together as the Proud Lila Whites and as the Spurs community to show our support for somebody who we wouldn't normally be showing our support for.
It was very, very poignant as well, that we had the support of Spurs as well, who helped us through that. So Chris and Simon, who are the Proud Lily Whites, they put a lot of work into getting this banner made and organising it to get it at the stadium and set up. For those of you that haven't seen it, the banner read, North London stands with Bukayo Saka and all players against racism and discrimination, in massive letters along the side of the South Stand. So it was very, very visible for everyone in the stadium. It's got a lot of traction online as well. So a lot of people are helping support that message and also, you know, taking a stand. You know, this is, yeah, there's North London rivalry, but, you know, people come first and foremost.
Yeah. It's important. It's important that we recognise, you know, that rivalry is good and the banter is good, but also that, you know, there's a limit to that, and that people's mental health comes first, and we have to be respectful of everybody and not go overboard. And it's great to see, you know, that there are the police investigations are making progress, and that there are charges being made against people who have, you know, been hiding behind their social media accounts, but we need to be vocal in our opposition of those people, and to show that, well, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are, football is for everybody, and we want all types of people to be represented in football and to be feeling comfortable and happy playing or watching or coaching or whatever it is. Any type of person is welcome within football, and anybody who tries to say otherwise, you know, we're not going to have any time for.
And it's really important as well that for athletes to be able to be at their peak physical form, they need to be comfortable. And you can't necessarily be the most confident version of yourself if you feel like you're going to be discriminated against when you're performing or playing or whatever it is you do. You know, there's so many people that are at the top of their game who are, you know, just as an example, Tom Daley getting his gold medal and his bronze, you know, this Olympics, and that's his fourth medal in the diving. And you know, he is openly out and he is performing at the highest level possible. And you know, there are so many people that do that, and they say that being comfortable in themselves and being as open as they are is, you know, it's such a relief, it's such a weight off of shoulders. And you know, all types of discrimination, you know, they bring those barriers and they make people feel like they need to change who they all are or change the way that they are to try and fit into what certain narrow-minded people think is the norm. And I think it's just really important that everyone has the opportunity to be able to express themselves and to be able to perform at their peak ability, and to be comfortable and confident in who they are.
Well, as you say, Tom Daley is exactly the right kind of example of this, because we've seen two things during this Olympics with him. One is him speaking openly about the fact that how amazing is it for him to be there winning a gold medal as an openly gay man, you know, with a son at home and a husband at home, and how he thought when he was young that he would never be in that position, he would never amount to anything because he was gay, and for him to be in that position having those things that he's dreamed of, and also being able to be open about that and be you know, a role model for young people about that, but not just about being gay, but also about the fact that he likes knitting. You know, the kind of the reaction to that as well has been fantastic. And you know, seeing that all types of people make up the world, and all, you know, whether that's your the color of your skin, your sexuality, the hobbies that you do, all of those kind of things, you, whatever makes you up, you can still be successful in what you do, and you can still be role models for other people. And I think, you know, the world watching all of those kind of things can see it. You know, it really genuinely doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. If you put in the effort and the time and you've got the talent, you know, you should be able, no matter what the background to yourself is, to be able to achieve. And I think Tom's a really good example of that for so many reasons. And hopefully, you know, that kind of activism of him and the other Olympic athletes has been fantastic. And we've seen a lot more out athletes at the Olympics. So, you know, hopefully that will continue, and in sport it will continue that people can just be themselves and be role models without having to face this, you know, terrible, really, really terrible abuse that they get, because people can do it online now, you know. And it used to be the case that if you were wanting to make these horrible comments, you made them to your friends and nobody else really heard it. So it was less important. But now when you make those comments so that everybody can hear them, it really becomes imperative that everybody else stands up and says no.
It is really important that having allies as well is very important. People who are supportive, and they will call it out when you see it. It's very easy for someone to make a passing comment or something that's the wrong side of the line and to turn a blind eye to it. And I think we've all at some point in our lives been guilty of that. Just in honesty, we have been. And I think it's really important that we as a society are aware that we need to not be turning a blind eye to things like this. We need to be calling out when we see it, and we need people to know that those sorts of behaviors and things that they say, that's not okay, and that's not the sort of place that we want to live, where people feel that they have to hide away or change who they are just to support a narrative that other people have defined for them. That's not healthy in any way. And I think I'm gonna stop getting emotional.
Yeah, but we are, the world is moving in the right direction mostly, and the trouble is with moving in the right direction, obviously the kickback comes and you get the people who aren't moving in the right direction getting louder because they see their point of view being less popular, and that's going to come. But you've got to keep pushing and moving forward, which is why the Proud Lily Whites are here, and why our mission in life is to no longer be needed, because we want to get to a point where those voices of hate have been eradicated, and wherever you are in sport or in society or wherever, everybody respects everybody else, and everybody gives everybody else the dignity that they deserve. So that's our role here at the Proud Lily Whites, not just for LGBTQ plus supporters, but for supporters of colour, and for women, and every different facet. Obviously our primary our membership is LGBTQ plus, but within that we have people of different colours and of different of different religions and all those kind of things. So what we hope to do is to build community, and one of our key aims actually this season is to build community within Spurs fans. So whoever you are as a Spurs fan, we're here for you, and we're here to build bridges and bring you into what we do. So there's lots that we're going to be doing towards that, and looking at how football leads the society and how it leads public opinion, all those, looking at how Gareth Southgate has done with the England team, how we can work more like that throughout football to really be respectful of everybody and to bring everybody into a safe place. So we're really excited about this season and all the things that we've got coming up, and hopefully that will be coupled with fantastic performances on the pitch. Always is the case in the last couple of seasons that the Rainbow Laces game is good for us. So we're hoping that's going to continue this season. And just generally, we're going to do lots of good stuff, both on and off the pitch. I think we should probably also mention the brilliant Michael Dawson is back at the club.
Oh, it's so great to have him back, especially with Ledley as well.
Yes, I mean, Michael Dawson is the kind of player that everybody loves, isn't he? I mean, he always, whether he was on the bench or on the pitch, he had a great big smile on his face. You knew he was doing absolutely everything he could for the club. And he's one of those great players who the best years of his career were at Spurs. So he refers to Spurs as home. And although he has strong connections with Nottingham Forest, Spurs seems to be the place that he has the strongest connections with. And I think he's a great character, and a lot of for kind of, I guess, the younger supporters and things, a lot of them, more than the other ambassadors, will remember who he is and remember him as a player. But I think it was a fantastic appointment given his character and how great he was as a player and how much fun he just seems to have being back at the club and messing around with Ledley.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good to see. And, that sort of energy and enthusiasm and passion for the club is exactly what you want from an ambassador. And, it's such a great appointment. And, really, really over the moon that Michael's joined the team. And along with Ledley joining back as well, because I know obviously Ledley was doing coaching last season. So it's great that Ledley sort of come back into that club ambassador role again. And you know, there was a Legends night that happened in the last week where we had Ledley was there along with I think it was it Gary Mabbott as well.
Yeah.
So some of our members got to go along to go to that, and you know, it's great that you know there is that engagement piece, and you know, all layers of the club are all coming together really nicely, and you know, having Michael as part of that team is you know, it's great. It's really great.
And we don't know how long Ledley... I mean, I saw an interview with Ledley King saying basically he wants to... He's stepped back from coaching because he actually wants to get his badges and all that finished before he actually then goes back into coaching. So I think long-term his aim is still to be on the coaching staff, but he feels like he needs to do his badges and to get those sorted before he's on the coaching staff. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, that happening, and hopefully, you know, that will be his long-term goal, and he will be back on the coaching staff at Spurs, you know, in a year or two. But in the meantime, yeah, I mean, couldn't have a better ambassador, really. I mean, all four of them are just such fantastic characters, aren't they, and do so much for Spurs, having been players and done a lot, and but now also, you know, behind the scenes and out front, you know, in all kinds of different events, really, really great ambassadors. And I think Michael Dawson's a fantastic addition.
Absolutely. And I think, you know what, that's a really good place to, I think, wrap it up there. So we've got loads of new people who have joined both men's, women's and the club again as a whole. So we just want to welcome all of them and wish them all the best for the season ahead. And also those that have already started playing, just congratulate them on their performances so far.
Yeah, we're looking forward to getting back and seeing the game, seeing the players, and yeah, and hopefully a really fantastic season with a lot less drama off the pitch and a lot more fun on it.
Yes, as always, do get in touch if there's anything you want to talk to us about. You can go through the socials, you can go through the website, you can email us as well. So please get in touch. Let us know what you think. If you've got any burning questions that you want to put to us, or any things you want to let people know about what you think the season's going to look like, just get in touch, let us know, and hopefully we'll have some messages that we'll be able to bring to the next pod.
Absolutely, and we're looking to do the next pod in a month's time. So hopefully looking to be... doing our pods around the 10th of each month this season, so that we've kind of got a regular spot there and you know when it's coming. And we may or may not have a special guest next month.
We shall see. So for now, it's goodbye from Lee.
And it's goodbye from Sean.